Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Through the Fire. I'm your host, Jamal Sylvester, a.k.a. Mr. Me Too. I'm the CEO and founder of Beauty for Ashes, Inc. in Indianapolis, Indiana, where I work as a motivational speaker, certified youth specialist, life awakening coach, and maven for youth. Before we get started, I want to take this time to explain the concept behind the title of the show. I named my show Through the Fire, because as we all go through our lives, we are tried and tested by life's fires. Problem is, most people don't want to go through the fire, understanding that the fire can be any obstacle that is in the way of you progressing to have those things that you want in life. My goal is to bring guests on the show that are knowledgeable and have tools that are needed for people young and old to make it through the fire. In order to get to it, whatever your it may be, you have to be willing to go through it. John Mitchell said, "The finest steel has to go through the hottest fire." Tonight we will give you some tools to help you get through your fire. Tonight I have on the show author, speaker, team builder, and life skills educator, Chris Woods. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great. You know, and you're in the presence of greatness, you can't do nothing else but be great. So, you know, I'm in your esteem. You know, right now I feel good being in your presence, so I feel great.
Man, I appreciate that, brother. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do with the Let's Go Move.
Well, I'm just a man, you know. I don't really like titles, but when people ask me what do, I like to say that I provide procedure, protocol, and process. That's to achieve any goal, anything that you aspire to do. I help teams become better teams. I try to help people become better people. I believe in I have a simple saying that somebody taught me when I was young, and that's proper preparation prevents poor performance. So I'm a hard work advocate. I believe that if you work hard, you work smart, and you work consistent, anything that you aspire to have, you know, you can achieve.
That's what's up. Well, welcome to the show, my brother. You know, I'm sure tonight we're gonna inform, educate, and inspire the people that are out there listening. Starting it off, why did you start your Let's Go Leadership Conference?
Well, for me, I just always wanted to do, I guess, what I always felt should have been done for me. So I'm never the type of person to complain. You know, it's something my father always told me, don't you ever cry, complain what somebody didn't do for you. You know, if you want it done, you got to do it yourself. So, you know, I look back and think of all the things that, you know, I probably would have liked to seen as a young man growing up, you know, after my father died, and I decided to be that for so many young men who may not have it.
Okay. Well, we know that it's needed. It's not, they tend to sometimes try to make it a black thing. Now, it may be more prevalent in our communities, but I think it's a national epidemic. It's all over the world. People are suffering, our young people are suffering, because they haven't been equipped with the tools needed in order to navigate through life's many different systems.
I 100% agree with that. I think that it's bigger. I think it's bigger than a black or white issue. I always have thought that most problems that we have in the world are more socio-economical than they are racial. I think that, you know, rich people act like rich people, poor people act like poor people for the most part. You know, I think that there is an issue within our community that probably needs to be addressed, but I do believe that, you know, this is a much larger problem that needs to be solved on a worldwide scale. You know, having the experience of living abroad, I got a chance to see that, you know, problems are problems. You know, if you're in Switzerland or if you're in Syracuse, you've got the same problems. You know?
And what were some of those problems that you saw that were similar? You know, if you could just point out a few.
I think one thing that's running rampant in the world is just, you know, absentee fathers. I think that's an issue just all over. You know, I don't know necessarily what's going on, but I think that, you know, men just stepping up to the plate, you know, because like I once was told that when real men stand up, then boys will sit down. You know, right now, you know, you got a bunch of boys running around crazy with their heads, like a chicken with their heads cut off, and that's because there are no, I won't say none, but there aren't enough men standing up and taking the lead. You know, my biggest thing is like, I believe that each man, you know, it's like everybody wants to go help everybody. It's almost like looking at somebody else's grass and wanting to cut it. But I think if every man just went ahead and took care of their own, first and foremost, if you take care of your house, and make sure that your boys, especially, are following rules and doing things that they're supposed to do, I think that the world itself will be a better place because of that.
Man, that's some good insight. And I know, you know, you targeted our boys, but I don't want to forget about our young princesses and our young queens. I think that there's also a huge void with that absentee father with our young ladies, and our young ladies have subjected themselves to things that they wouldn't necessarily do if they had a father in their lives, and for the most part, they've taken off their crown. And because of life's obstacles and life's, you know, hardships, they've kind of forgotten, or they've been, that queenship has been beaten out of them. And so what do you speak to those things as far as our young ladies go?
Well, I believe that, you know, all across the board, you know, standing, you know, and never being around a real man.
The call has dropped. Chris will be calling right back in.
Yeah, I'm in.
Chris,
I'm in. So,
I'm with you.
I was speaking upon, okay, you know, having that father, you know, for females, how important that is, and I believe that, you know, seeing what a real man is and being around a real man, and you'll know what to look for. I think a lot of times that young ladies, they, you know, you're out here living blind, and you don't know really what you're looking for. You're just searching blindly. And I think that having that example, and also having understanding what real love is, I think a lot of times, even with the young men, you know, we go out here in these streets and straight looking for what we believe love is because we've never been loved. And, you know, I believe, like I say, you know, when a real man stand up, then all of the boys will sit down. So the boys will sit down and won't even approach these young queens, you know, in a foul manner, because they know that she's been led by a real man. So I think that, you know, the biggest problem within our community more than anything is our men, we're so focused on the come up. You know, everything we're doing, we always chasing money that we're forgetting to raise our families. You know, we're so worried about getting something or the next big thing is that we're forgetting to raise our kids, our girls and our boys. And I think that's something that has to be addressed.
I'm glad you touched on that, because that's something that's, you know, very near and dear, you know, to my heart. It's the majority of the reason why I do what I do. And like you said a little bit earlier, you know, when you've not had something done for you, you know, that kind of puts you at a deficit. Not kind of, it really does put you at a deficit, especially when it's somebody that was placed in your life as your parent, their job to equip you with those things, and you don't get that, and then you begin to search in other places for that love or for that acceptance or, you know, for that sense of affirmation. And you know, sometimes you can go for the dummy and you can get duped. And you can begin to believe, you know, the hype, and you will get caught up in chasing after that next big thing, and, you know, everything that's shiny ain't good for you.
Yes, indeed. Indeed, yeah. I think that sometimes it's just the trappings of it. We get so caught up in the propaganda of what's what that, you know, you tend to lose focus. I heard, you know, an interview with with J. Cole, you know, the rapper J. Cole, he was talking about success, and he was like, he thought success would be, you know, buying his mother a house or getting all this fancy stuff. And he was like, once he got all this money and got the houses, he realized that he still wasn't happy. And what ends up happening is a lot of people who get a whole bunch of money realize that because they've been chasing all this money but neglecting the people that's around them. And you lose so many people along the way that when you get your success, what's the use of having it? You know, if you ain't got nobody to share it with. So I think that, you know, building, that's part of what I do is team building. You know, a lot of times people think teams and they automatically think sports. Well, your family is a team. You know, and that's a part of it. You know, it's also, you know, part of my team building is helping people build family structure as well. You know, because that's the most important team that you will ever be on, you know, your family. So you have to learn how to maneuver and operate with that team first. And once you do that, then you'll understand how to move, you know, as an individual.
Wow. Hey, that's good there, because we do get caught up in our sports, and we champion, you know, those things, especially those of us who have been athletes. We get, you know, we like that stuff, and we like watching it, and we like hearing about it. But it's pretty cool that, you know, you were able to talk about team from a family perspective. And I know that there are a lot of families, but they don't always work as a team. And on a team, there's many different moving parts, and everybody got to know how to play their position as well as somebody else's position in case that they're not able to play that position.
That's all the way around, and that's what I believe that now I'm not saying, you know, there are plenty of women who step up and do a great job, you know, but I just want to hold, because I'm a man, so I know about being a man, so I could speak on that from that aspect that as men, we have to step up, you know, as the head. You know, this is what we were designed to be. You know, we were designed to be the head of the family, so we have to lead, you know, and do what's designed for us. See, a lot of times, and this is what I mean about the procedure, protocol, and process, a lot of times we want to get off course, and we're not following the procedure. We're not sticking to the protocol, you know. We're not, you know, engulfed in the process. So now we're wondering why stuff ain't working the way it's supposed to work or the way we think it's supposed to work. That's because we're not following what's designed for us to follow. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we making this life thing a lot harder than it has to be. You know, there's a blueprint. You know, all we got to do is just follow the blueprint. You know, everybody want to do it their way. You know, but, you know, it's been proven, tried and true. You know, you just got to stick to the process and follow it the way that it's supposed to be. You know, there's no wonder, and not to say that, you know, everything's going to be perfect, but I definitely believe, you know, from seeing that if you do the things that you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do them, then you're going to get good results.
That's a biblical principle. If you sow right, you're going to reap the benefits of what you sow. So if you plant right and you sow the right seeds, good things will come from that. And, you know, consequences and repercussions happen for everything. For every good thing you do, there's a consequence and a repercussion. For every bad thing you do, there's a consequence and a repercussion. And, I think that, you know, a lot of our people have been I don't want to say damaged, but they've been beat down so much by life's hardships and the different curveballs that life throw you, whatever that, you know, may be, whether that's through sports or whether that's through family or relationships or jobs. And you get stuck in that rut where, you know, you just feel like this is all it is. That's not meant for me. That's for you, or that's for them who are benefiting from it. It doesn't work for me, but it definitely goes along with what you said. It doesn't work for you because you're not working it how it was designed for you to work it.
Exactly. And I look at it from a standpoint, we just got to look at what, you know, what blessings are. You know, I look at my life all the time. You know, I had a dream and goal of making it to the NBA, but I – I just know 100% if I made it to the NBA, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. I know that 100% because if I made it to the NBA, that means everything worked. And when everything worked for you, it's kind of hard for you to go talk to some regular people and talk to them about what they're going through. How, you know, if I, at the end of the day, if I got $100 million in my pocket and I'm going to talk to a bunch of people who want to get to some money, I can't relate to them no more. I'm too far removed. You know, I'm too far removed. And even beyond that, what hardship have I really, you know, went through? You know, that's why I always look at it. You know, one of my favorite, you know, favorite things when I came across it was, you know, the furnace of affliction. You know, and understanding what affliction is. Affliction is a hardship, trouble, adversity, is distress. You know, that's what make me common with people. And there are more people who won't make it to the NBA than people who will. You look at the NBA, what, it's been 4,000 basketball players to play in the NBA? 4,000. In the whole world, there's been 4,000 people to play in the NBA. That's a lucky group of people. But I'm trying to touch the other billion-plus people in the world who ain't got no chance of getting to the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, so in order for me to tell my story and talk to these kids and help build these families and these people to understand that, yeah, you can still have a successful, productive life and not go to the NBA. You can have a successful, productive life and not be a professional athlete. You can, as the NCAA, they have a saying, what they say, we have plenty of athletes who are going to go pro in something else.
Right.
You know, and that's my whole thing. I am a professional, but I'm a professional something else. It's just not a professional basketball player anymore. You know, and that's my thing, is just to create that. And I think that me going through that hardship and that heartbreak of putting in so much work, so much time, so much effort, and still not achieving that, you know, and going through it, you know, it was heartbreaking, you know, losing my father at an early age, you know, growing up in a not-so-great neighborhood and watching one of my friends get murdered. All of that was a part of my story. All of that was a part of who I am. And that affliction that I went through, that furnace of affliction, was just God burning me and burning them impurities off of me, letting me see some things. And then now I rose from the fire, you know, a new man, able, because I'm willing, now I'm able to help others. So I'm actually grateful. The other day I saw the Rock, the movie star wrestler, who, you know, he's a multimedia mogul now, but he was saying the best thing that ever happened to him was that he got cut from the NFL. That was the best thing that ever happened to him. Because once he got cut, it showed him that he could do something else, because all he thought he could do was play football.
Right.
And for a long time, I thought all I could do was play basketball. I knew I had some other stuff in me, but I just thought, like, man, I can't do nothing but hoop. Everything I do got to be about a basketball. And it's funny because some people, when I talk to them about the fact that I've written a book, it's like, wow. One of my college teammates told me, it's like, man, that last thing I thought that you would ever do would be write a book. You know, and I told him, well, you'd be surprised to know that I've written another one. And I got another 5 on the way.
Right.
You know, so it's, you know, to not achieve what you want sometimes, you know, it's better for you, because what you want ain't always what you need. You know, and sometimes you have something so much bigger and better and greater waiting for you going through that other door than the door that you want to go through. So I'm excited, you know, right now to where my life is headed. And I hope that other people, you know, when they're going through something and it may not be going the way that they want it to go, you know, just get excited about, you know, just get excited about life. And you would be surprised to where it'll take you.
Man, it's funny that you talk about affliction, and then, you know, we talked, you know, last week about what tonight's topic or theme would be, and you know, the furnace of affliction. It ties right into the title of the show and what the show is about. And so, you know, I want to be able to help our listeners, you know, tonight on understanding how to get through their furnace of affliction and understanding that that furnace of affliction, it comes, and it comes at a great cost. But I think one of the key words that I heard you say not too long ago was willing. You got to be willing to go through the affliction.
Yes. And you can't run from it.
It's a part of the process.
I mean, you can't skip no steps. Every step is necessary. Every brick is important to the builder.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We done seen some buildings built on not so strong foundations, and we know where they are right now.
Yeah. I agree
with
that.
Talk to us a little bit more about your what does furnace of affliction, you know, mean to you? Can you talk to us a little bit more about that? Because in the Bible, there's a verse that says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so we have tons and tons of kids. You know, we both just talked about it when we started the show. It's all over the world that are suffering, young men and young ladies. And so how can, you know, what are some tips or some tools, you know, some nuggets you can drop that can help, you know, our listeners get through their different furnaces of affliction?
So I think so when I wrote my book, One Mailbox at a Time, Your Step-by-Step Guide to Success, I wrote this book with the purpose of helping people who have a goal to learn how to set goals, achieve goals, and reach success. I think a lot of the reason that we end up in those furnaces of affliction is because we have no goals. We just live in life. You know, you hear people say, I'm chasing my dream. And I say, well, that's good for you. You know, I want you to know that you're going to get tired and you're going to quit. So if you're chasing a dream, you're probably not going to get it. Chasing a dream is almost like a dog chasing his tail. You know, dog's going to chase his tail and feel like he's getting that close to it. And he's going to be huffing and puffing, getting a lot of exercise. But see, I don't believe in chasing dreams. I believe in waking up out of the sleep and going to get your goals. And the first thing that you have to do is you have to, whatever you're dreaming about, you need to wake up and write it down. So in my book, I talk about the process of how to set and achieve goals. And I believe that that's the direct way to get out of your furnace, or the direct way once you get out of the furnace to not go back in. You see, setting goals, that's like giving yourself a roadmap. You know, you need a roadmap. So the first thing that you need to do, you need to establish what it is that you're trying to do. After you establish what it is that you're trying to do, then you need to gather information on that. Once you go around, you gather information and you gain knowledge, then you need to create a plan. See, I believe that creating a plan, you know, that's the most important thing of it all, because proper preparation prevents poor performance. You got to be prepared with your plan. You got to think about what could go wrong, you know, what might go right, you know, things that may be some obstacles or obstructions. After you create a plan, then you got to take action. And then once you start taking action, things might start working for you. And when it starts working for you, it's like one of those things, like, you know, I liken stuff to basketball just because I played a lot of basketball in my life. But you know how sometimes when you get a kid and he get on varsity finally and he start playing well and get his name in the newspaper a couple of times, and then he started thinking that he really something, and now he ain't working hard no more because he lost focus on what his ultimate goal was. So you need to follow one course until you're successful. Stay focused. Then once you maintain that focus, then just work hard and finish. All of those points, those are the key points that are in my book. You know, anybody that's looking to just have a blueprint of it, you go to Amazon.com, you know, and just type in One Mailbox, the at symbol, a time, One Mailbox at a Time by Chris Woods. It's your step-by-step guide to success. And I'm not saying it because I wrote the book, but I just really think that it's very basic, very easy to read, and it's something that you can get through, you know, in a matter of a day. I wrote this book not even about the book. not about myself. I don't care if somebody reads the book and says it's trash. But what I hope you do is, after you say it's trash, you understand that these are some real full-of-life details that you need to implement. You know, it's a quick read so that you can get on with your life. You know, I'm not one of them people who's going to write a 200-page book. Now, you got to spend 6 months reading my book, and you're still in the same spot you was in. I want you to spend two right. hours reading my book and wake up in the morning and get to going. You know, that's why I say let's go, because I'm really saying let's go. We got to get up and go to success. It ain't tired of sitting around and talking. You know, this is a clear-cut plan on how to get from point A to point B.
Okay. What are some things that you do? What are techniques that you use in getting some of those goals or some of those things accomplished? That you do? Are there anything? Is there anything in particular that you do? Do you have meditation techniques? Do you have other things that you utilize to keep you focused to get to that end goal, to your next goal?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I do is I use my, always calling my big fancy phone. Everybody got these smartphones, but they don't use them to what they designed for. So I use my big fancy phone, and I go to my calendar. And in my calendar, I mark off my day, everything that I have to do. So that way I'm not wasting no time, and I'm not procrastinating. See, I believe that procrastination is the seed to self-destruction. You know, and oftentimes we waste our time procrastinating, and we're planting these seeds of self-destruction, and we look up, and now we're in this whole forest. We're in this whole forest after planting these seeds of procrastination and the whole forest of self-destruction. So to avoid that procrastination paralysis, what I do is I write everything down, simple and plain. I got a calendar in my garage. You know, it goes from the floor to the ceiling, all 12 months. How I live life now that I've been able to get things in order and organized is that if it ain't on the calendar, then it ain't real. Simple and plain. If it ain't on the calendar, it ain't real. You know, if you didn't make it to my calendar, then we really didn't have an appointment. You know, it was just like when we decided that we were going to go on air today, I marked that down on my calendar so that I know this is what I have to do today. It's in my phone. My phone reminded me, you know, that we have an interview today. You know, and that's the thing of it. You know, to stay on track. It's easy because life is busy. Life is busy, and it's designed by that way. That's why it's only a select few who make it to a certain level, because it's designed to distract you. These people in charge ain't no fools. They design all this stuff to distract you from doing what it is that you want to do, what it is that you need to do to free yourself from it. You know, and if you don't have it in you, that's why I always tell people with your goals. You know, I was talking to one kid, and he was like, well, why do I need to write it down? And I said, well, why don't you? If you don't have what it takes to take a piece of paper and a pen and write down what you want to do, then you don't have what it takes in you to make it. You don't have it in you, but what it takes in you to achieve your goals. If you don't have what it takes to write it down, you know, it's simple as that. Just take a piece of paper, a pen, and write it down so you can see it. So you can see it. I believe in, you know, the trichotomy of a man, you know, his mind, body, and his soul.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, those three things ain't in alignment. You know, you're a hooper, so you understand this talk full goal when I'm talking about being a triple threat. And when
right.
I say triple threat, I ain't talking about dribble, pass, and shoot. I'm talking about your mind being strong, your body being strong, and your soul being strong.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about meditation, you know, when you mention that, you know, I wake up in the morning, and not for long, and all this stuff, I believe in something that I got this thing where I do like 5 minutes worth of everything. If you do 5 minutes worth of everything every day, then you're going to be good. You know, because I believe what they said, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Right.
I believe I'm going to be around. You know, I have to believe that I'm going to be here for a long time. I can't get it all in one day. So 5 minutes, if I dedicate 5 minutes to any task every day, eventually I'm going to get it done. So what I try to do is I try to meditate for 5 minutes, just sit still. But first, let me get this straight. First, I orally speak into the universe what it is that I see.
Mm-hmm.
After I do that, I do a couple minutes of talking, and maybe about two to three minutes, because they always say you should listen twice as much as you talk. So
right.
I shut up, and then after I speak that, I shut up for 5 minutes and then let these answers come to me. I let these answers come to me because, you look at it like, almost look at it like the universe, like God, whatever it is you believe in is a waiter. And the waiter is holding a glass of water. You say, waiter, I need some more water. And then as he gets ready to pour the water, you start moving the cup around. And then you looking at him like, man, you don't know how to pour water. The same way we look at God and be like, you don't answer prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all you doing is talking to him. Are you shutting up and mm-hmm. listening? So that's a way that I try to strengthen my spirit. That's how I try to strengthen my soul, is through open prayer and meditation. And then I strengthen my mind by trying to make sure that I read at least 5 minutes in the morning. And then after I get done, strengthen my spirit and my mind by prayer, meditation, and then reading. Then I go into like a 5 minute workout routine, and then I go about my day as my schedule has aligned. I just don't live like freely. I listened to the rapper Cameron once, and he has said that how he, if you call your homeboy and you ask him what he got to do tomorrow and he tell you nothing, then you need to quit hanging with him, because you only need to be around people who got plans.
Right.
If somebody don't have nothing to do all day, then, that's something in and of itself, unless that nothing was planned. If you had planned a vacation, a chill-out day, then that's something totally different. But then your answer won't be, I don't got nothing to do. Your answer will be, I'm planning a vacation today.
Right. I'm chilling.
And that's respectful, respectable and understandable all at the same time, but... So that's what I try to do, is start my day open prayer, meditation, reading, and a little 5 minute workout routine to get my day started on the right note, on a positive note. And I'm happy, and that's the thing, is that I try to leave the house happy at all times. And I believe that what you give is what you're going to get. So if I give off happy vibes, they're back all the time. When you sitting around thinking about all this despair in your heart, then that's what comes to you. And sometimes the good got to go through it. But the reason why the good go through it is because the good can take it. So it's like one of those things. It's like they say, why do the righteous suffer? But then the answer is, why not? Why wouldn't the righteous suffer? They the ones that can take it.
Right.
And that's the thing, because at the end of the day, a lot of the stuff that we think is suffering ain't suffering. If you think not being able to pay a bill and a creditor calling you a suffering, then you don't know what life is. If you think that because you don't got the car you want is suffering, then you don't know what life is. If you think because you got a 2-bedroom apartment and it's 10 of y'all that's suffering, then you don't know what life is. Because there's people who don't got no roof. That's suffering. What's the saying? You crying about you wish you had some new shoes, and there's somebody in the world crying they wish they had a foot.
Right.
So I think that that's the biggest thing, at the end of the day, when I look at my life, it may not be the best, but it definitely wasn't the worst. That's why one of the things that I always say when people be like, man, I came from nothing, I ain't going to even stretch it like that. I could tell you I didn't have much. I came from not much. But I definitely didn't come from nothing. You know what I mean? I definitely didn't come from nothing. You know, I think that, you know, there are some parts in America where, you know, people are living, you know, like that. But for the most part, in this country, you know, people got something. You know what I'm saying? They got something. It's very seldom and very rare that you have people who don't have nothing in this country.
That's some good stuff, man. You talked about, you know, setting goals and, you know, having a plan and taking the time to write it down and meditation and prayer and the physical workout and doing all of that. But what about our pocket of people who are in the furnace of affliction and they don't know they're in the furnace of affliction?
A lot of times, now this is just from, you know, from my perspective, you know, I'm not saying that this is the end all and be all. I think that it's very rare that somebody is in the furnace of affliction and don't know it. Now, there are people who may choose to ignore the signs. You know, I think that the people who choose to ignore the signs is almost like saying you're in a bad relationship and you don't know it. You know it, you just don't want to see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the person that's going, they always the ones denying it. Like, oh, no. Nobody knows better than the person that's going through it because, you know, we can hide it to everybody else, but you know when it's going wrong for you. You know when everything you touch is turning into ashes. You know, it was once told to me when I started studying the furnace of affliction, it was like one of the biggest ways that you know that you're in it. Because just sometimes you just be sitting around and you smell the smoke. Like, ain't nobody smoking, ain't nothing on fire, but you just sitting around smelling smoke. Like, man, what's that? Something burning. You know, and that was crazy when I had heard that. Like, man, I hadn't been there before. You know, and you just like, man, what's that burning? You know, and that's, you know, that's one of those things that you know, it's, I think that, again, we know you just choose to either embrace it or ignore it, you know, and that's like say some people going to run from it, some people going to run to it, and then you got some people that's going to run right through it, you know, and that's the difference of it, you know, you just got to, and I think that even if you are going through it and you don't know, like I said, I think that taking that time to just sit back, that prayer, that meditation, I think that them answers will be opened up to you anyway, to where you might not necessarily know that you're doing wrong, but once you sit down and calibrate your life, that compass going to start leading you in the right direction, so it's going to lead you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that sometimes that's the biggest thing to do is just sitting down and having that, you know, that me time so that you can calibrate, you know, your life.
Man, that's good. I remember we met a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, we were chopping it up, and you said something, and it stuck with me. I got it saved on my phone, and you was talking about how we as, you know, people, we call on God, and we ask God to fill us up. And so you used the scenario of us being a glass. And God is pouring himself into us, but because we don't know how to be still, he trying to pour something into us, and we always moving, but then we steady ask God, well, why you ain't filling me up?
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta be still. You gotta be still.
Yeah, you gotta be willing to, you know, to be still so that you can get, you know, refilled, so that you can get, you know, poured into. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that we have so many people who will always go. And, you know, we take it so literal when people, you always hear the saying, no days off. no days off.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand that there's more than, you know, one kind of work. Work don't always have to be physical. You know, you could do some mental work, you know. Sometimes rest is work. That's a part of the work. The rest
right.
of the recuperation process, you know, letting your body heal, letting your mind heal, letting your spirit heal, that's a part of the work. You know, you sometimes you got to sit back and have that, you know, that moment to where you sit back and you regroup, you take a little rest, recuperation, and regroup so that you can hit it harder the next time around. But you just can't think that you're about to go out, you know, and just be full go every day, all day. You know, sooner or later, you're going to get sat down.
Well, the biggest issue with it is people go, 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 but they ain't got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
You're going, but you ain't going nowhere. So
You ain't going nowhere. You like that dog. You like that dog chasing his tail. You like that dog chasing his tail. You going nowhere fast. You running on that treadmill. You running, no matter how fast you go on that treadmill, guess what? You're in the same room. You know, and that at the end of the day, that's what it is. Because you ever notice, like, people who talk about how hard they work out and they run on the treadmill, that's all they do. And the first time they get on that pavement and they start running, they don't make it as far. You know, and that's always funny to me. Oh, I run 10 miles on the treadmill, but you can't run 2 feet on the pavement. You know, so that's, to me, it's telling in and of itself is that, you know, if you pay attention to life, it will definitely teach you some things. You know, I'm a firm believer in the Living Life University. You know, I always say that the tuition is very cost effective. All you have to pay is attention. You know, it's one of the things that if you pay attention to everything that's going on around you, you will learn something. You will be taught.
Okay. Well, I think we got some callers on the line.
Okay.
Area code 574. Did you have a comment or a question? Area code 574, did you have a comment or a question? Area code 209, did you have a comment or a question? Area code 209, did you have a comment or a question?
I just unmuted you because I was really doing a lot of things, but I want to let the young man know that I really enjoyed his presentation. I think that young people need to know that more, especially setting goals and all of these things. So I'm just glad that I got a chance to be on the call. And thank you so much for inviting me, Ms. Beverly Black.
Well, it is
so
our
much.
Pleasure. Jermall Sylvester and Mr. Chris Woods, I want you to know who you're speaking with. This is Ms. Geraldine Hollis. She is a civil rights activist from the Tougaloo Nine. So from the library sit-in in the year, what was the year, Ms. Geraldine?
March 27, 1961, 57 years ago.
Wow.
Richmond,
so you were
56
wow.
years ago.
Wow.
So.
Wow, it's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. We definitely
thank
appreciate
you.
It, and we appreciate them encouraging words and thank you for doing what you did and being a standard bearer and, you know, standing for what you believe in because it's that fight and that fire and that passion that has somehow, some way found itself in myself and Chris and a host of others that continues to push us to do the things that we do for our young people and for people in general, because we know that you can't do it by yourself, and it's much easier if we get together and we do it as a team.
Well, that's why I applaud you, because I could hear that in your statements and the compassion in which you really spoke and the real details that you shared, because a lot of young people need to know that. Thank you.
Again, thank you. Thank you for blessing us with your presence on the line tonight. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you
thank
so
you
much, Ms. Geraldine Hollis. And thank
okay,
you so much, Ms. Geraldine
you.
Hollis. We'll be looking forward to your interview on Voices of Wisdom September 7th on Tribe Family Channel. So have a blessed evening and continue your show, gentlemen. Your callers have been most appreciative.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Wow. What do you do with that, bro? Like, that's a... honor, and I mean, I got butterflies, and goosebumps, and I'm tingling on the inside.
Yeah, that's one of those things that that I feel like it's for me, it's humbling, just because if she didn't do what she did, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. So for me, it's a great thing. You know, I appreciate everybody who's about action over announcements. That to me is the ultimate, you know, because everybody want to talk that talk. You know, when you hear, you know, oh, we need to do this, and then when it's time, you have 100 people talking about what we need to do, but when it's time to move, only 2 show up. You know,
right.
So for me, that was my biggest thing, was just that I was raised not to be like everybody else. That was how my daddy raised me until he died when I was 12, was not to be like everybody else. My daddy told me, he said, son, there's more stupid people in the world than there are smart people. And the older you get, you're going to realize that you're standing alone. You're different. So what I noticed was in my neighborhood that there was always a lot of people talking about what needed to be done. But nobody wasn't doing nothing. Everybody got the solution. Everybody got the solution. But when it's time to act, don't nobody act. So for me, putting together a leadership conference and doing a leadership conference, it was never about, like, always tell people, I feel like I could do anything. I don't know how big it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to work. But I know I could do it. And when I started doing a leadership conference, I had no formal training, event planning. I didn't know how to do it. I just knew that it was something that needed to be done. I started telling people what I was doing. Some people didn't want nothing to do with it. Some people was like, oh, you got to go through this channel. You got to go. No, I don't. I don't need no channels to give something to some kids, to give them some information. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to be no LLC or no 501(c)(3) and all this. No, what we need to do is give these kids this information. While we waiting on grants, kids are dying. So let's do this work. Everybody want to move when there's money involved, you know what I mean? But I want to move because I'm trying to save people. You know what I mean? It was like, I can remember something that had threw me off. I'm talking about had threw me all the way off. And it was a point in time where I was done with church, and it was crazy because this threw me off. I had went to, it was just a random day. I was just like, man, I need to get baptized. And I went to 4 different churches, and all of them told me I got to come back on a certain day to get baptized. I'm like, I could die right now. What do y'all mean? If you sitting right here and I'm right here, let's go ahead and get this done. I don't need no crowd here. We ain't got to wait till the 4th Sunday of the month. Who made that rule? Either we going to do it or we ain't.
Man.
You know,
well, bro, man, I want to take this time to let you give your promotional plugs, talk about how people can get in contact with you, talk about, you know, a few of your books as we wind down. So I want to get that opportunity to you. You got the space.
Okay, so if anybody's looking for me, you can find me at www.letsgochriswoods.com. Check out my YouTube page, you know, go there and subscribe and like the videos. That's youtube.com/letsgochriswoods. Subscribe to the page, like the videos. Again, that's www.youtube.com/letsgochriswoods. And my book is entitled One Mailbox at a Time, Your Step-by-Step Guide to Success. You can find that at outskirtspress.com/letsgochriswoods. You can find that at amazon.com, barnesandnobles.com. And if you're looking for information on any of that, like I said, you could go to www.letsgochriswoods.com. That's letsgochriswoods.com. All one word.
Well, tonight is a great show, man. I truly appreciate you for coming on and dropping them nuggets, man. I want to thank all my listeners. Chris blessed us with some nuggets of truth. He gave us some tools that we can put in our tool belts as well as our children's tool belts to be successful and to move from goal to goal, from success to success. Before we leave, I want to say thank you to Chris again, and I also want to give a shout-out to my sponsors, Beauty for Ashes, Inc., and Bruce George, founder of Genius is Common. I'd like to ask you to go visit www.geniusiscommon.com. Genius. If you want to contact me, I can be reached at risethroughthefire@gmail.com. That's risethroughthefire@gmail.com or on LinkedIn, Jamal Sylvester. That's JEERMALSYLVESTER. Be advised, a Facebook page will be coming forward for Beauty for Ashes as well as Through the Fire, so be on the lookout for that. Man, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you. I hope that tonight touched you as it touched me. I'd like to thank, that amazing call in and that encouraging, those encouraging words from one of our soul journeys. So somebody who stood in the gap when a lot of people didn't want to stand in the gap because it was costly. So I thank her again for her encouraging words, and I thank the Tribe Family Channel for, allowing me time and this opportunity to be a blessing to others. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.